This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Been digging around in an issue that's been brought up by the Rasponi campaign, and that one was continues to air. And then a number of third-party PACs, one being funded and handled by Senator Conrad Appel of Jefferson Parish, and Anthony Leegee, the name of the person preparing reports for the PAC as well, are now airing ads, or slightly changed from the original ads, about the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority's approach in the issuance of performance-based contracts, and saying that one of Governor John Bel Edwards' friends that he went to West Point with, who, by the way, worked for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and obviously would know a little bit about coastal restoration because that's kind of what they're involved in, are saying that this is nothing but a sweetheart deal. It's a deal, though, that has never been consummated. But they continue to say that there's an inside track, that there's other things here that are concerning. So I just decided, well, let me go to the source, Chip Klein, Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority Board Chairman, to tell us exactly what happened and what's going on. Chip, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. Appreciate you having me on, man.
So, Chip, I've kind of looked through this and documents that I've requested and looked at it, and this is a determination that really does not lie solely with the CPRA. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct, Noel. And so before we get into the nuts and bolts of the ad, I think it's important for me to kind of set the stage here on how this concept came about. And I think since the inception of the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority back in 2006, we've had legislators, parish presidents, multiple stakeholders across the, you know, South Louisiana pressing for us to engage the private sector more in our hurricane protection and our coastal restoration efforts. And I think that is something that we as an agency are committed to doing. I think it's something that we need to do if we're going to be successful in restoring and protecting our coasts, because I don't think a single state agency can do this alone. And so as a result of that, there was legislation that was introduced back in 2017 that was introduced by a Republican and a Democrat member of the Louisiana State Legislature that gave the CPRA contracting authority to utilize what we refer to as performance-based contracting. It's another mechanism, it's another tool in our toolkit to implement coastal restoration projects across South Louisiana. This is a method that's been used in North Carolina, I believe in the state of Washington, and also in the state of Florida. So in response to that bipartisan legislation, which, by the way, was passed unanimously by the Louisiana State Senate and the Louisiana State House of Representatives, in response to that legislation, the CPRA then issued what we call an RSIQ, which is a request for statement of interest and qualifications to the public. So anyone who felt that they were qualified or who had an interest in this work could have submitted their qualifications and their statements of interest for us to look at. And when I say anyone, I mean anyone in the state of Louisiana, anyone across the Gulf Coast, anyone in this country could have submitted a proposal. As a result of that solicitation, we received six submittals. And when I'm talking about submittals, I'm not talking about one individual that submits. We're talking about teams that consist of 10 to 12 different companies that have vast experience and expertise in surveying, geotech, dredging, environmental services, engineering companies, construction contractors, et cetera. And so six separate teams submitted for their qualifications to be looked at by the CPRA. We then advanced all six of them, every single team that submitted, were advanced to the next phase for consideration. The next phase of consideration consisted of those teams outlining their financing, their land rights, where they're going to get their sediment from, outlining their specific expertise in design and engineering expertise, et cetera, et cetera. As a result of those bids that came in, the CPRA, number one, deemed that every single bid that we received was too high. So we, as a state, rejected every single proposal. We rejected all of the bids. Additionally, Newell, what you referenced in your opening comments there is that throughout this entire process, from start to finish, from when the RSIQ was put on the street to the RFP to the actual bids were submitted, there was significant oversight by the Trump administration throughout this entire process, because the funding mechanism that we were using to implement these projects was BP oil spill dollars. And so when you're talking about BP oil spill dollars, you have extensive oversight from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Department of Commerce, Department of Interior, all of these agencies from the Trump administration to make sure that we were abiding by the law, that we are adhering to the most ethical standards in the state of Louisiana, the federal government, as well as the Trustee Implementation Group, which is that group that is comprised of the Trump administration appointees as well as members of the state of Louisiana. So I want to be clear here. When we're talking about that we rejected these bids, there is not a single entity, there is not a single firm, there is not a single business that is currently positioned or in line to get any work from the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority as it relates to performance-based contracting.
If you watch these ads, you were to believe that that the submittals are by individuals, and in particular, they pull out Mr. Murray Starkle. He's just a member of a team, correct? And he may be the point person of that team. I'm not certain. It seems as though he is one of the managing partners of that team. But not unlike the other bids, these are all a conglomeration of companies that do different and play different roles in the overall scope of the project. Is that not correct?
That is exactly right. There was not a single submittal that we received that was actually from a specific individual. As you noted in your opening comments, the submittals that we got were actually a conglomeration of multiple firms, engineering firms, construction firms across South Louisiana that have vast experience and extensive expertise in hurricane protection and coastal restoration projects. So the ad is focusing on one team, and it references one individual on a team that consisted of about 10 to 12 different firms and companies across coastal Louisiana.
Yeah, and, because they make one representation that in this particular project, he has none of his own employees, none of this, none of that. Well, that may not be out of the ordinary if he is going to be providing some project management or other services unique unto himself. In that respect, I've seen those types of submittals even at the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office.
Sure. And so, I mean, the ad that is airing on TV that you referenced is actually, it's glaringly lacking in facts. There is no factual information in that ad. And so, again, every single firm that submitted, every team was made up of 10 to 12 different firms, businesses that have vast experience, not only in the state of Louisiana, but across the Gulf Coast in this type of work. But again, the decision was made by the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority in conjunction with the Trump administration to ultimately reject these bids because they came in too high. So the Edwards administration and members of the Trump administration were looking out for the best interest of the state FISC here in rejecting these proposals. And that's important for the public to understand. And if I could, obviously I know political campaigns get heated and ads like this can often be run, but I think it's important for your listeners to hear me say this, is that Governor Edwards has never, not once, not a single time, asked me or anyone within a leadership position at CPRA to even consider a particular firm for a contract, nor has he ever dictated or told me to issue a contract to a particular firm ever for any contract that the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority would issue.
And what I find a little bit ironic, too, this particular team that Mr. Starkel is a representative of, in the tabulation sheet, as I understand it, and I'm trying to work through these numbers, they finished third.
And that's correct.
And with amount of the oversight that you're talking about, I just can't imagine for the life of me that they would have ended up being the chosen one in this regard and finishing three out of four.
That's exactly right. So of the firms that actually submitted for the second round of the phase, so to speak, the second phase of the process, there were four firms that submitted bids. And based upon the tabulation and the scoring and the review process that we went through with the Trump administration, Mr. Stockel's team finished third out of the four. So even if we were to award a contract under this delivery mechanism, Mr. Starkel's team would have not been awarded that contract. And so the new ad that is now circulating all over the airways is saying, well, but he's still positioned to receive the work. He's in a position or in line to receive the work.
Well, he's in a position to continue to compete for the work. I mean, that's wordsmithing at its best, not unlike anybody else. If you reopen it, it's going to be reopened to probably everybody in the world again.
Well, that is exactly correct. And so by us, under the law, under Title 49, Section 214, the CPRA has the authority to cancel any solicitation or any bid. And in doing so, any proposal or any bid is essentially considered dead, which means that we have to hit reset on the entire process. And we then have to go out for another round of requests for statements of interest and qualifications, again, open up to anyone in the public that would want to submit for this type of work. It's a very public process. And so there is absolutely nothing that is done without the highest ethical standards of the state of Louisiana.
You know, Chip, what really irritates me, I talked to a number of local officials that are participating with the CPRA who have both Democrats and Republicans alike, singing the praises of the CPRA. The CPRA has moved across multiple administrations, and is looking out for the best interests of the preservation of our coastline. And many of those same folks are irritated that they feel like that this kind of is an attempt at almost putting a black eye on the CPRA, and that, you know, it may cause y'all to have to double your efforts to prove yourself when it's not even necessary because there was nothing wrong done.
That's exactly right. So as I mentioned, obviously this is a hit piece on the governor. But when you have ads that are running like this that are so blatantly false, it begins to bleed into the integrity and the reputation of the entire coastal program. The coastal program of this state has received broad bipartisan support from its inception, going from Governor Foster to Governor Blanco to Governor Jindal and now to Governor Edwards. Unanimous support of every single coastal master plan, a $50 billion plan that is unanimously approved by the Louisiana State Legislature. You point to another plan in state government that calls for $50 billion worth of spending that has that type of broad bipartisan support. We now have more hurricane protection and coastal restoration projects underway, under construction this year than any other time in the history of our state. And I think that legislators, parish presidents, stakeholder groups across coastal Louisiana recognize that the CPRA and the coastal program under this governor want to do things the right way for the right reasons to protect our people, to restore our coast, and to make our communities as resilient as we possibly can. And when ad calls into a question the reputation and the ethical standards of the over 170 people who go to work every single day within the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority to do one thing, to restore and protect our coast. And I find ads like this and I have no place in our political discourse. It's particularly when it calls into the ethical standards of our governor and as well as bleeding into the overall integrity of the coastal program.
This is the prime example of desperate people doing desperate things and willing to do anything in order to accomplish what they want to accomplish. And, you know, once again, when you have individuals, and I know you can't opine on this, but I will, that don't make themselves available to the public to be able to ask why you went down this path. What other evidence do you have? Bring it to the forefront. Let us know what it is. And stop playing the wordsmithing and tearing down an organization that has had, as I said before, bipartisan support through across multiple administrations involving local elected officials as well is beyond me. It's just not worth it. Chip Klein, thank you so much for setting the record straight for us today. Folks, we really appreciate, Chip, your time. Thanks again.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate you having me on.
All righty. That's Chip Klein, Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority Board Chairman. We'll be right back. We're back, and, you know, folks are saying, well, why don't you talk about the other third-party commercials? I did the other day. I said I didn't agree with those either that were out there. So this is not as though I'm picking on one group or the other. The one thing I find interesting about this, first it starts out with the Truth in Politics PAC, which is the Lane Grigsby-supported PAC, and then they move these commercials over to the Causeway Connection PAC. That's the committee chairperson of this PAC is none other than Senator Conrad Appel, who, by the way, the enabling legislation that was overwhelmingly passed by the House and the Senate, he was absent for that vote. In fact, I think during that period of time, he may have been on a two-week vacation, is what I'm told. You know, so we're talking about something that had huge bipartisan support, utilizing the private sector and understanding that they would be able to bring more of the assets necessary to try and accomplish these very complicated coastal restoration projects across the Louisiana coastline. And it created these performance-based contracts and contracting that had been done in Florida, North Carolina, and other states with some of their coastal restoration efforts. And in fact, those were looked upon as being the way that we should go about doing it. And from what I understand, in talking to a number of the folks with the CPRA and others, they actually adopted the plan in North Carolina and aligned the Louisiana plan very, very similar to the North Carolina plan. So to wordsmith this thing and have the attack ad, you know, they had to modify it because they were trying to make something look nefarious and surreptitious that's just not there. And why you would put a program that has moved across multiple administrations, that has bipartisan support, that has local government, both Democrats and Republicans, sitting in the same room talking about and trying to develop the strategies as to how we're going to deal with the challenges that we have on the coast, for the sake of your political purposes, in order to make a candidate look bad when there's nothing there, is beyond me. It is absolutely and completely distasteful. You have nothing else, so you make something up? This isn't about, you know, whether you're characterizing someone with an opinion. You're saying that this actually happened. And it didn't. And you know didn't, because the documents say it didn't. And the fact of the matter is there's an incredible amount of oversight in this program, most of which is provided by the Trump administration. And in fact, in this case, that committee that has oversight over it actually participated in not accepting any of the bids and moving forward and having this process start all over again. And if there's insider deal-making, trading, however you want to wordsmith it, they pretty much suck at it because allegedly the guy that you say is the man, he finished third. And if you're skewing the matrix and judging the ability or capability or maybe even the lack thereof, it would seem to me that you could come with a different outcome if you got all of this inside action working to your benefit. But we don't put that in the piece, do we? We leave it out there to make people believe that it's something that it's not. Shame, shame, shame. there are a lot of hardworking people in the CPRA that have been there through multiple administrations that are trying to do the right thing. And I've had multiple conversations with folks that are appointed there that have given so much of their time, their effort, their reputation, and everything else to have it tarnished for the sake of some political gain. And there's nothing there. Nothing. And to make it look like something that it is not. Let's go to line two. Talk to Jeff in Ponchatoula. What say you, Jeff?
Hi, Sheriff. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing real good, Sheriff. Sheriff, I wanted to ask you, would you allow me to make a point without any interruptions, and I'll hang up and listen to your comments?
Yeah, as long as it's not too terribly long.
It's going to be real short. You continue to support a liberal governor, but it's not changing my mind.
That's fine.
I'm voting for Eddie Rasponi.
I respect that.
So you consider yourself a fiscal conservative, yet you continue to support a liberal governor.
What makes him liberal? What makes him liberal?
I just wanted to say.
What makes him liberal, Jeff?
President Trump has come down here on a number of occasions to support Eddie Rasponi.
And so what does that mean?
And if Eddie's good enough for President Trump, then he's good enough for me. And okay. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Well, Jeff, that's fine for you to have that point of view. I kind of look at the world a little bit more expansive. I've defended Trump where I think he ought to be defended, in my opinion. This is my opinion now, right? This is an opinion show. And I've taken him to task on those occasions when I think he's not done the right thing. So, for example, I think it's incredibly wrong of him to have his daughter and his son-in-law on his staff. I think that's out of the ordinary. I think it's unnecessary. I think if we started allowing our governors to do that and start having all of their family hold these positions of authority, whether they're paid or not, I don't think it's right. And I've taken him to task on that. I've supported his immigration policy wholeheartedly, almost without exception, from the first time in Arizona when he revealed his 10-point plan. So I call things as I see it. In this case, for me, it was easy because I supported John Bell the last time he ran against David Vitter. I thought he was a better candidate. I thought his moral compass was more intact. He's not divisive. He's a collaboration builder. For some of the same reasons, that's what my opinion is about him this time, as opposed to this candidate, Mr. Rasponi. He may be a very nice man. In fact, I know a lot of people that know him, and they say that he is. But when it comes to governing the state of Louisiana, he has yet to reveal much of what his intentions are. And when you go to what his actual spoken words are, he doesn't say anything. And in fact, the other day, he was caught on tape saying he doesn't want to go on debates because all John Bell does is lie. Now, does anybody really believe that? John Bell has a record. He's just talking in sound bites and trying to play to his base. I just happen to be called a rhino all the time, and I said I wear that with a badge of honor because if that means an independent, thinking-minded individual where I am not drinking the Republican elixir to just drink the elixir and put me in a state where I exercise and utilize the capabilities of common sense, then yeah, I'm a rhino. And I will continue to be a rhino because I don't think just because Donald Trump comes down here and says that we should vote the governor out, that that's a mandate by somebody where he comes down here and dictates the way I'm going to think about what's in the best interest of this state. Look, we have a lot of reasons to be a little bit angry with Donald Trump. These tariffs are not helping our port. We are a port city and a tourism city. So there's any number of reasons we should be taking him to task on some of this. Bring it to an end, because it's not helping us. And that's been proven over and over and over again. But be that as it may be helping the economy overall, we understand. But if we're going to look at things a little bit more parochial, it is a problem. But I'm not just going to vote for somebody because Trump says in his mind he should come down here and tell us, you know, what he thinks is in the best interest. I think it's in his best interest, meaning Trump. What do you think, James, on line two?
Hey, Neil, thank you very much. I wanted to say this. I didn't hear all of that last segment you had with Mr. Klein, but yesterday I saw a commercial. General Honoré, a hero, three-star general, hero of Katrina, he has officially come out and endorsed John Bel Edwards. He made it very clear this was the first time he has ever endorsed a political candidate. He feels it's that important. Honoré works with coastal restoration. He works with the pollution in the Louisiana area. And I thought that was significant. Then there's another, about 5 minutes later, another veteran came on, an elderly gentleman. All he could do was say, John Bel Edwards is a liberal. We don't need a liberal in Louisiana. You know,
I want to know what, you know, define liberal. He's pro-life, pro-Second Amendment. That runs contrary to two of the main themes of the Democratic Party if you're far left.
So that is correct. What they have done, starting with, I think, Limbaugh, was they've turned the word liberal into an obscenity. They've turned it into an expletive. You know, there are a lot of people who look at the works of Jesus Christ and they say, oh, you know, that guy was a liberal, you know, yeah. Turning water into wine, you know, at no cost. That's pretty liberal. Or raising people from the dead and not charging anything for it. Or healing the sick. I'm sure the medical profession back then didn't like that very much. So, you know, there's so many liberal programs like that old elderly veteran, things like Social Security, Medicare, things, work safety rules that liberals have been responsible for initiating. Oh, yeah, it takes, Republicans to put those through. But today's Republicans are not yesterday's Republicans. You know what? I also share that with you. I am a proud Rhino. And there are some people in that Republican Party, and I hear it all the time, who would like to purge people such as you and me right out of the Republican Party. And you know that.
I'm not giving up my independence for anybody. Not
right.
Now, not ever. And when they wanted to censure me before, I said, start by stop asking me for money. That would be a good place to start. But I am going to continue to exercise my independence in evaluating each of these candidates individually for their strengths and their weaknesses and decide from there where I'm going to be. And the party consideration is going to be last. Thank you, James. I appreciate the call. Got to get to the next caller, Kevin in Slidell. What say you, Kevin?
Hey, how you doing, Newell?
Good, and you?
Man, I mean, I just think that's why our state is in the situation that it is. We have people that just think backwards, and we always going to be behind because we have other people that let people lead them and they don't do their own homework. It's just sad. It's sad. When you hear a conversation with the guy before, the previous caller just called you and asked you the question of why you support John Bel Edwards.
Absolutely.
You know, like you say, his moral compass and everything else. But I watched the debate. When I watched the debate between John Bel Edwards and the other guy responding, he could not answer one question on what he's going to do in this state. One question. He would not answer a question. But we have a lot of people that's back in this state. And I want to say it, not just in this state. I'm going to say in the South. I'm being honest with you.
Yep.
They are very backwards.
Kevin, I understand.
And we're going to be like this here.
I understand your frustration, and I'll take all the hits. If independent thinking is a bad thing, I'm going to continue to do it. I don't understand why people would want to chastise those for that. I fully respect everyone's right to choose. And I have the right to express my opinion. And I'm sure the people that don't like what I'm saying now, they wouldn't be texting me or saying anything if I was embracing their position or their opinion. Isn't that how it works? We'll be right back. Stay with us. We had a great show today. I want to appreciate everybody calling in, talking about, you know, this issue relative to the governor's race. We're going to continue to follow this Causeway Connection PAC that's been set up by Senator Conrad Appel. They're moving these commercials from one PAC to another, I guess in the hopes of trying to evade those that are trying to get restraining orders of them putting this information out. And we're going to start looking. I noticed that they borrowed $80,000 to finance this PAC. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to pay that note off. We know why that process is actually utilized. You don't want to reveal who the ultimate donors are until after the election. So you go borrow the money, fund it, and then when it doesn't matter anymore, the truth comes out, and the truth will prevail at some point in time. So we'll continue to shine a light on that and other issues that come up as well. Also, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Magica Christmas Marketplace out at the Ilario Center on the West Bank. Check it out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.